Good morning, everybody.
Good
morning. So today I'm going to talk to you about the Master Certified Health Education Specialist Experience Documentation Opportunity. So MCHES EDO. I'm not going to say that again. So I have no relationship to disclose. So the objectives for this session is to describe the rationale and guidelines for awarding the advanced level MCHES certification via the EDO, identify the most common advanced level subcompetencies used by applicants in that process, and name challenges to reliability and validity when using a testimonial of practice certification process. So why did NCHEC embark on this EDO process? So when NCHEC considered an advanced level certification, it was clear that experience really was a distinguisher between entry and advanced level certification. So as a credentialing organization, NCHEC leadership wanted a mechanism to measure competency at an advanced level. So comments were collected from professionals holding the existing CHES certification, and they indicated that they were interested in an alternate process from the traditional exam to gain this credential. So we created a unique process to award the credential that was not just based on assessment of competency via an examination, and not just based on years of experience, which is what you traditionally see in grandfathering. So the EDO was based on experience in the health education field. So we implemented the EDO process for 6 months between October 15, 2010 and April 16, 2011. It was available to individuals who were active CHES for the past 5 years, and they documented advanced level practice in the field and had recommenders attest to their performance and competence levels. These items were what the CHES had to submit in order to gain the MCHES certification. They had to submit an application and a fee. Pay a fee. They had to submit their experience self-appraisal and testament of practice form. And this form really was where they had to detail their engagement in 4 advanced health education activities. So each of the advanced activities had to link to 1 advanced subcompetency in the corresponding areas of responsibility. They also had to they had 2 recommenders attest that they were actually indeed practicing at the advanced level, and they had to show documentation to support what they wrote for the activity, and also a resume or a CV showing that they have 5 years experience in health education. So the review process. The procedures for EDO really were created by our board, the Division Board for Professional Preparation and Practice, DBPPP, and it was also approved by the Board of Commissioners. We also had, DBPPP also had oversight of the entire EDO process. Applications were handled following a predetermined protocol, and all reviewers were CHES certified. So essentially what happened was when applications came into the NCHEC office, the MCHES coordinator would review them for their completion. And if there was any question on any of the applications, we formed what we called an errata panel, which was made up of 3 individuals from our board. And we made 3 decisions based on the review of the application. Either you approve it, deny it, or ask the applicant for more information. And then we also had appeals procedures for individuals who were not granted the EDO. So there were 862 people who submitted applications for the EDO. 818 were approved, 37 were denied, and 7 withdrew from the process. So what I'm going to do now is go over a series of slides that are giving you preliminary results from the analysis from the MCHES EDO. And I just want to emphasize that right now the results are preliminary. Staff and volunteers are continuing to analyze this data. And once that is complete, we will make sure we present this information in future presentations as well as publications. So of the 818 that were approved, about 82% were female, 103 were male, and about 43 did not report this information. African Americans made up about 11.5% of the EDO, MCHES certified EDOs. About 68% were white, and about 5% were Hispanic Latino, and 7% did not report this information. The master's degree was the most commonly used degree that we saw, as well as the doctorate degree. About 30% of the applicants had this degree. The university setting was the most common work setting that we saw among the applicants, followed by healthcare at about 20%. As you can see, it was about 69 of the applicants did not report their work setting. And so what part of the future analysis, what InCheck Office is doing, is actually going through resumes to actually record their current work setting. So the most frequently used area of responsibility was responsibility 6, serve as a health education resource person, and that was followed by area 5, administer and manage health education. So as I mentioned previously, applicants had to choose 4 different areas of responsibility, and so this is the percentage on the use of each responsibility. These are the most frequently used advanced level subcompetencies. The number 1 was provide expert assistance, and you can see what the other subcompetencies were. One thing to note here is that these were the most commonly used, but this doesn't necessarily mean that these were the most significant or the most important. It just could have been that these were the easiest to provide documentation for. So what were the benefits of the EDO process? We were afforded a one-time opportunity to assess how current CHEDs really understand, apply, and articulate the advanced subcompetencies. Advanced certification is a significant event in the history of certification of health education specialists, and this is really the first time that this has been done in our field. We use this process to identify, review, and approve the experience of current CHEDs as practicing at the advanced level, which was really a unique process. So where were applicants at variance? Well, really there were 3 areas where there was some variance in between applicants. The first one was the choice of areas and competencies and subcompetencies. Oftentimes they just really didn't match. So for example, if a person put, you know, area of responsibility 2, they plan health education, then of course the subcompetency would have to match up with that. So a subcompetency would have to come from that same area of responsibility. So what our group saw was that if you put, you know, oftentimes the responsibility didn't match the subcompetency. So if a responsibility was from area 2, a subcompetency may be from area 6. And so in those terms it didn't match, and then that was automatically sent to the errata panel. The next one, the 100-word description was not clear or accurate. Some applicants just didn't describe their activity in 100 words, and so we're not necessarily sure if it was because the applicant couldn't be succinct and accurately describe what they did, or really was that 100-word description, was it really limiting? And then the third area, the documentation or activity did not match or support the subcompetency. So an example of this is, if a person, you know, described their activity as presenting at a conference, well, you would expect, hope, to see that some of the documentation would either be an abstract or a conference program to demonstrate this. And oftentimes, you get a curriculum, or you may get something totally different that doesn't match up to the activity that they listed. So the EDO gave us insights into applicants' understanding of how to apply the advanced subcompetencies to practice. And so what the InCheck office, as well as the division boards, is we're looking at doing some research in these areas. So which subcompetencies were not well understood? Well, as we can see from our errata panels, there were some subcompetencies that kept popping up as people really, we're not sure if they didn't understand it, they didn't provide the proper documentation. And so really, what we hope to do with that is work with our Division Board for Professional Development with the continuing education providers on, you know, what are the subcompetencies that need continuing education attention. So we can actually reach out to the field to do some education around these subcompetencies. Also, what was the level and nature of concern on the description and the activity? I described before the 100 words or less. Was it because they couldn't be succinct like I described before? Or really, you know, where was the variance in them not being able to describe their activity? What was the level and nature of concern with documentation? So why didn't they provide the appropriate documentation for the activity? And what was the value added with limitations of a supervisor peer review? So we also wanted to take a look at challenges to reliability and validity. Some of these challenges include ensuring that we had inter-rater reliability. Training of raters is crucial, and so we wanted to make sure we document the notes of decision. This was a formative process. If an interpretation was needed, the matter was referred to our board, and the rule was noted for future use. For example, when we had errata panels, we would make sure we had extensive documentation on our decision, on the process that we got to that decision, so if we got a similar application with the same issues, we can follow those same steps. And then also, the applicant needed to document the specific subcompetency and the literal interpretation of subcompetency. So the onus was upon the applicant to really understand what that subcompetency meant and make sure they provided the correct documentation to show that. So we received EDO applications from a diverse group of CHEZ, which affirms our concept that health education specialists we have generic, basically, health education specialists from based on areas of responsibility, competencies, subcompetencies across work settings, populations, and job titles. The EDO gave us a true insight in the eclectic role that health education specialists are playing in organizations in the health education field. I'd like to say congratulations to those of you who are in the audience today who have been successfully notified that you have the NCHES. We have some pictures here of some of our current NCHES. A few people are actually in the audience today, and some are in the in this conference this week. So on that note, I just want to say thank you, and you can always stay connected to NCHEC through YouTube. You can join us on Facebook and LinkedIn. Thank you.